The subject of this class is to understand one perspective, actually two perspectives, of what success means. What was the great success Joseph had in Egypt? And of course, to leave us with some teaching that we can actually use for our daily life. This class is based on a sicha, on a talk of the Rebbe. This was actually developed in two different years, 1984, 1985. And this was like printed with this is the teaching of the Rebbe, so to speak. This is what the Rebbe wants to be printed in his name, in his teaching. Part of this we're going to do outside of the text itself. The original text is in Yiddish. I'm not going to read the Yiddish right now. I assume it makes no sense. So I'm not going to do it. But part of the idea, I'm just going to convey, so to speak, outside of the text. And part of the idea I would like to actually read, because certain times, not always, but certain times it's very interesting to see how are our sages, how are our rabbis, leaders, etc., they actually express particular ideas, particular teachings. So I'm just going to speak in English, so to speak, very few Hebrew words to here and there to understand things. But the main thing is going to be in English. That's why I prepared a very, very small presentation, but I'm not going to do it in a presentation way. I'm going to do it somewhat different. And the reason why is because I just want to point out certain things while I'm reading. So if I just present, I can't point it out. It's just the way it is. So bear with me. Of course, if you have any questions, any commentaries are welcome. No problem. Let's start. This story, I assume it's a famous story. It's in Parshas Vayeshev, in the first book of the Torah, Book of Bereishis. The story of Yosef, he was sold out by his brothers, etc., to Egypt. And basically, that's what we're going to read. We're not going to go into the whole story. It would take a lot of time. It doesn't make any sense. That's not the point. I would like to just point out the success of Yosef in this story. So let's read these few verses, which are actually from the Torah. I'm jumping a few. This is chapter 39. This is verse number one. I think this is verse number two. And then it's five and six. The rest, like for right now, is not important. I'm not saying that the verses of the Torah are not important. Chas v'shalom, God forbid. I'm just saying what we want to learn. It's not in those verses. So when Yosef was taken down to Egypt, Potiphar, a guy, a person, a courtier of Pharaoh and his prefect, whatever that means, a type of Egyptian official, whatever, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. Yosef was went, sent down to Mitzrayim. Hashem, this is the name of God, was with Yosef, and he was a successful man. If you see, the first thing the Torah is saying, wow, Yosef was a successful guy. And he stayed in the house of Egyptian master. Okay, very good. And when his master saw, we're going to talk about this later, how did he know? How did he see this? When his master saw that Hashem was with him, like, wait a second, Potiphar knew Hashem? How did he know that Hashem was with Yosef? What happened over there? And that Hashem lent success to everything he undertook. So we see that Yosef did something in the house of Potiphar, and whatever he did, he was successful. Therefore, he, that means Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's hands. And with him there, he paid attention to nothing save the food that he ate. Actually, this means his wife. Okay? But we're not going to go into this now. Now, Joseph was well built and handsome, was a nice guy. But the point here over here is that Potiphar saw, his master saw, says the Torah, that Hashem was with him, and therefore he was very successful in everything he undertook. This is part number one of the story. Let's go to part number two. I'm not going to go into all the details of the story, but the point is, again, I assume you know the story from before. The point is, Yosef was put in jail. He was put in jail. He wasn't guilty, etc. Again, go read the story. You can do it by yourself. He was put in jail. So Joseph's master had put him in prison, where the king's prisoners were confined. But even while he was there in prison, Hashem was with Yosef again, same idea. Hashem was with Yosef, extending kindness to him, disposing the chief jailer, favorably toward him. The chief jailer put in Joseph's charge all the prisoners that were in the prison, and he was the only one to carry out everything that was done over there. He did everything. Now look at the last verse, which would be verse 23 in chapter 39. The chief jailer did not supervise anything that was in Joseph's charge, just the same as Potiphar. Why? Because Hashem was with him, with Yosef. And whatever he did, Hashem made him successful. Okay, so we have Yosef in two different places, as we're going to learn in a minute. Yosef in two different places, and he was successful in both places. Very nice. Place number one was in Potiphar's house. The verse says, everything he undertook, Yosef was successful. So the Rebbe asks, what's the difference between these two places? What's the difference between the expressions that the Torah says? If you see it in Hebrew, even though you don't understand Hebrew, don't worry. I'm just going to point out a few words. Again, Vayar Adonav, and this is actually when his master saw, Vayar Adonav, that Hashem is with him, etc., etc. And look at these words. Kol asher hu oseh, everything that Yosef did, Hashem, the name of Hashem, matzliach beyadoi. If you literally translate these two words, matzliach means Hashem made him successful. Beyadoi means in his hand. The hand of Yosef was successful. He did things and he was successful. This is story number one. Now let's go to story number two, the last part, the last verse, okay? The chief jailer, etc. Whatever he did, Hashem made him success, made successful. Look at the words in Hebrew. Vasheru oiseh, Hashem matzliach. God made him, Yosef, successful. Where is the hand of Yosef? Where did the hand go? What happened over there? Okay, in both cases, he was successful. But in one case, we see the hand. Biyadoi. And in the second case, we don't see the hand. It's just matzliach. He's successful. This is what the Rebbe asks, to develop an understanding of what success actually means and why was Yosef successful. So again, let's compare. Everything he undertook while being a slave in the house of Potiphar, or when he was a prisoner, actually, he was in prison. Hashem made him successful. Why these two situations and why they brought different levels of successfulness to Yosef. So a few parts again, I'm going to read for you. It's very interesting. The text itself is very interesting. We're not going to read the whole thing. What does it mean to be successful? But the Rebbe brings an explanation of a previous Rebbe, Tzemach Tzedek, that's the third rabbi of Chabad. And the Tzemach Tzedek says like this, look, there are certain people that are just matzliach, successful. Why? Because this is connected to something called mazal. Mazal. The word mazal is a Hebrew word, which is a very difficult word to translate, extremely difficult, and it's related to the source of the soul. That's the mazal of a person. And the Tzemach Tzedek says, like when people say, this guy is a lucky guy. A successful guy, lucky guy, mazel dike mensch. He's successful. That's how the Tzemach Tzedek says. What means the successful of Yosef? He was a bad mazel. He actually brings a Yiddish word, glick. Like he had good luck, you know, a good lucky guy. And the Rebbe explains that the truth is that the success of Yosef was completely over natural success. That's why everything he did was successful. Like in quantity, every single thing he did, look how the Torah says. And when his master saw that Hashem was with him and that Hashem's legs appeared to everything he undertook. It's a strange thing. Like who can say everything? I mean, I underline it. Everything you do is successful. It's strange. Sometimes you are successful and sometimes not. It's okay. That's life. But Yosef was different. Every single thing he did, he was successful. A strange thing. So this is a lucky guy. This is what Potiphar understood. This is a lucky guy. However, there's a different thing. There's a different level of successfulness, not in quantity. Every single time you do something, and I underline the word doing, you're successful. No, in quality. Your success is a godly success. It's a way strange, very strange thing, very strange way of successfulness. This is the second level, which is related to these other words. Hashem made successful Yosef even without his hand. Again, when you compare these two situations, clearly you see there are two times, two spaces, so to speak, places where Yosef was, and those places, those situations brought the success of Yosef. First one, again, he was a slave in the house of Potiphar. And the second one, he was a prisoner in jail. And the Rebbe explains like this. What's the difference between these two things? I'm going to read now. The vessel, so to speak, kli in Hebrew, the vessel for success, and not just success, for a godly success, which is way beyond nature, is just as the verse says. You can find this verse in Isaiah, the chapter, Isaiah, I think it's in English, chapter 66, the verse 2. This is what God actually watches over, a person that is broken inside. And in Hebrew, we call this bitul, nullification. This is the formula for success. You are completely given over your life. Every single thing in your life, as we're going to read in a few minutes, is completely given over to God. The less a person feels himself, his own ego, his own existence, the more Hashem is with you in a revealed manner. In all your actions, you can see the strength, the power of God, because this person is completely given over to God. And this is the difference between the two situations in which Yosef was found. In the first case, the first situation, Yosef was a slave in the house of Potiphar. And that brought a very strange success in everything he undertook. But you know what? He had to do something. That's why in Hebrew, going back a little bit, you see the hand. He had to actually produce whatever he had to do. And the Rebbe, I'm not going to go into the details, but the Rebbe goes into a whole explanation of how whatever a slave does actually belongs to the master. But the slave has to do something. If the master says, go dig a hole in the ground. Okay, so the guy goes and digs a hole in the ground. Who actually is the owner of the hole? The master, not the slave. But who did the digging? The slave. He had to do something. The success of Yosef was a godly success. Why? Because in everything, single thing that he did, he had success, which is in itself a very strange thing, to the point that even Potiphar realized this. Okay. But he had to do something. He had some level of being himself as a slave. I'm nothing because I'm a slave, but you know what? I do. I actually manage the whole house of Potiphar. And if you pay attention, it's interesting. I just copied this translation from Sefaria. These words are not in the original Hebrew. The original Hebrew, when you look at the words, this is the verse. It says, Yosef hurad Mitzrayimah. Yosef was taken down to Egypt, vaikneu, and he was acquired by Potiphar. Potiphar acquired Yosef. Who was Potiphar? Sris Paroi. What does it mean, Sris Paroi? Over here it says a courier of Pharaoh. Whatever that means, it's like, there's no translation to this word. It was one person, one important minister of Pharaoh. Sara Tavachim, the minister of Tavachim. What does it mean, Tavachim? In Hebrew, Tavach means a butcher. That's what it means. So it doesn't mean that Potiphar was a butcher. No. And he wasn't the chief of butchers. He was some kind of very important minister in the house of Pharaoh. So he wasn't such a simple guy. He was a very important person. To the point again, that in the English translation, it doesn't even really know what to say. I don't know, some official over there. I don't know. In Egypt, important people in Egypt. The Hebrew says Salat Avachim. And he was an Egyptian man, Ish Mitzri, and he bought it, whatever. So what I want to say is, even though he was an idolater, et cetera, he was an important person and he wasn't a fool. That's why he was an important person over there. So he realized this guy, this Yosef guy, is weird. It's not such a real common slave. It's a weird slave. It's a weird slave. So even though, again, even though he was a slave of an important person, and he did something. He managed the house of Potiphar, an important person in Egypt. So in this case, the Torah says, you know what? Everything that Yosef did, I'm sorry here, everything he undertook, he had to do something with his hands, he was successful. That's level number one. However, when Yosef was in jail, a person in jail is in a way different, very different situation than a slave. A slave can do, can accomplish something. A prisoner cannot do anything. And I'm going to read it to you. It's a very interesting way that Rebbe expresses this. The Rebbe says like this: a person that is in prison, his thing, his life, is completely taken, completely forbidden, completely tied. He's not able to do anything, has no possibility of working or accomplishing anything that he's actually able to do. Imagine a, I don't know, whatever, a doctor, a very famous doctor, for whatever reason, he ended up in jail. Can he actually accomplish the great, incredible things he's able to do in jail? The answer is no. He doesn't have his office, he doesn't have his laboratory, whatever, he doesn't have his books, he doesn't have anything. And we have a great, incredible, very wise person doing nothing. He's in jail. And the Rebbe notes, it's not part of the talk itself, it's a note in the talk. And it says like this: we can say that this is the reason that we don't find in the Torah, in the whole scripture, a punishment to be in jail. In today's society, and I'm not against it, whatever, we have to think about it and we can actually talk about it for hours. But in today's society, when a person does something he's not able to do, kills, whatever the case is, steals, he's put in jail. He's caught and put into jail. What can he accomplish in jail? Nothing. And believe me, I was not in jail, thank God, but I went to jails, to many jails in the United States, in Argentina, many, many jails, to visit many, many people. And people over there do nothing the whole day. Some work and some, okay, but believe me, they do nothing. And they go crazy because you cannot accomplish anything. Nothing. That's why the Torah doesn't give a punishment of jail. Okay, you can argue punishments in Torah are death penalty, what again, very grave and terrible things. But jail? No, forget it. I prefer to kill you and not to put you into jail. Why? Because when a person was born to toil, that's a verse in Iyov. A person was born to work. So it's not possible that the Torah puts a person in jail where he cannot actually toil and do whatever he's able to do. It's impossible. It doesn't make any sense. The Torah would be telling you, be against yourself, be against the real reason why you were created. Okay, you made a mistake and you did something was wrong, not according to the will of God. So you're in whatever. Yeah, you deserve a punishment. But jail is not a punishment. All the punishments in Torah are actually what is called in Hebrew a tikkun. Something to repair. When you're punished, God forbid, it's supposed to clean whatever you did wrong and take you to the next level, so you cannot, so you don't do it again, and you move on in your life. That's a punishment in Torah. Okay, when there's death penalty, the punishment means, look, you did something so terrible that the only way to fix it is with your own life, which is a terrible thing. Okay, so you're not moving on, you know, in life because you're not there anymore. But that shows you how terrible this thing is that a person did, et cetera, et cetera. So when a person is in jail, he's bitul, again in Hebrew, his nullification, he's completely given over. I can't function, I can't affect the world in any way. I'm out of the system. So that's what brought Yosef to the next level of success. In the first level of success, when Yosef was a slave, he felt bad. My brothers hate me. My brothers sold me. I'm in a strange land, a strange language, et cetera, et cetera. So that brought inside of Yosef a very deep level of bitul, nullification. And that's why everything he undertook, he did with his hand, as we saw in the Hebrew part, he was successful. Very interesting. But the next level, he didn't do anything. Forget it. Hashem gave him a completely in quality different success. Why? Because he was a prisoner, was completely given over, completely bottled, so to speak, completely nullified. In the words of the Rebbe. Let's see, it's interesting how the Rebbe puts it in his own words. I'm just going to read a few parts. When Yosef was a slave with Potiphar, so that means that you can even learn to be a slave of God, so to speak. And what does God want for you? That you affect the world in a positive way. Each one of us knows to a certain degree, it doesn't really matter how much. But the will of God, God wants you not to steal, not to do this, to be a good person, to be a refined person, et cetera, and to affect and share this with other people. So to the point that you're given over to God's will, you're going to be successful in sharing this message, in living a productive life, et cetera, et cetera. But that's all in a way of slave, eved in Hebrew. Slavery, that you become yourself a slave of God, you have to go and do. You're supposed to do something. Again, everything he undertook. However, when a person like Yosef or each one of us is in jail, that jail brings a person to reveal within himself a complete and absolute nullification to God. He becomes nothing, not even the small ego of being a slave of Potiphar. Forget it. You're nothing. You cannot accomplish anything in life towards the goodness of the world, etc. You're in jail. That's it. You're out of society. Therefore, his divine success came in a way of Hashem made him successful. That, like the last part of this verse, Hashem made successful Yosef. Not that Yosef did something. It's true, the verse said that everything he did, but it finishes saying Hashem himself made him successful in a very, very in quality wise, not everything he did in quantity, rather in quality wise, and in completely beyond the laws of nature. Completely beyond. Okay, this is very interesting. This is the first part of the talk, so to speak, of the Rebbe. And then the Rebbe shows this in a very interesting way. Let's take this one step further. How can I do this? This is Yosef, very interesting. This is his life, his situations. I'm not a slave. I'm not a prisoner, thank God, in any case. But is there anything that I can actually do to reach these two levels? So the Rebbe points out a commentary of Rashi. Rashi, he lived in France. And he's one of the main and most important commentators of Torah. And he was very, very precise. Only the words needed, even the letters needed to understand a specific concept. And when you actually learn in a profound way the teachings of the Rebbe has so many teachings of commentaries on Rashi. The Rebbe sometimes shows you letters. What Rashi is teaching the whole word just with one letter that he added to some verse, one letter, the whole thing. Okay, we're not going to go so deep, but let's try to understand a commentary of Rashi. This commentary is on this verse, and when his master, I'm sorry, saw that Hashem was with him, this I think is verse number four. I think it's four or two, I don't remember. I think it's one, two, five, five. It's verse number five in chapter 39. It's verse number five. The master saw that he was successful and he lent success to everything he undertook. What does Rashi say? He quotes these words of the verse, and this is the commentary of Rashi. The name of God was a familiar word in his mouth, in the mouth of the Yosef. Yosef was constantly saying, thank God. Baruch Hashem, blessed be God, in the eyes of God, whatever, in the will of God, if God was, all the time was talking about God, 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 God. Don't forget, Yosef was quote unquote, he was not a Jew, okay? They were not Jews, but quote unquote, a Jew in Egypt, full of idolaters, in the house of his master, who was an idolater, an important person in Egypt. So you cannot just say, hey, what are you doing? Idolatry? Wait a second, he's your master. And he's an important guy over here, so you better shut up. And Yosef had no problem. God wants this, God wants that. Thank God. Yeah, I'm going to do this. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. This is what Rashi says. This is what Rashi says. So this part of the talk, I would like to read to you inside because it's very precise and very interesting. According to all of these that we learned, we can understand something difficult to understand, actually, in the commentary of Rashi. So the Rebbe goes to present what I just presented to you, the verse and the commentary of Rashi. Why does Rashi comment actually over here? Why does Rashi comment over here that God is with him, that the Lord was with him, and the commentary of Rashi again was that Shem in Hebrew, Shem Shamayim Shagrafi. Yosef was very accustomed to pronounce the name of God, to say, God, thank God, etc., etc. Why does Rashi comment this? Apparently, it's not necessary. And where did he get it from? Like anything that Rashi comments has to have a source. Because I think the Torah, I don't care what you think. Show me where it comes from, not what you think. And if I care about what you think, I'm going to ask you what you think. Otherwise, just don't say anything. So Rashi over here says, you know what? The simple meaning, because this is the job of Rashi. It's for a deeper talk some other time, but the simple meaning, pshat, the simple meaning of the verse that the Lord Hashem was with Yosef is because Yosef had this word, God, God, all the time in his mouth. Where did Rashi get this from? Moreover, says the Rebbe, if you see a previous verse, when the Torah says that Hashem was with Yosef and Hashem was hey, I'm sorry, and he was a man of success. The previous verse to this one, Rashi doesn't say anything. He doesn't comment. So again, we have basically two verses saying the same thing. The first one says, Vayehi ish matzliach, God was with Yosef, and Yosef was a successful person. Rashi doesn't comment. It's understood by itself. Second verse, and the master saw ta-ta-ta, he was successful. You know what? He constantly talked about God. What is Rashi doing over here? Why is he commenting over here? What's the need for this? And the same thing happens later. In a later verse, when the Torah says that the chief of jail saw that Yosef was successful and everything, etc., etc., and he left everything in his hands, and Rashi explains because God was with him. What does that mean? In Hebrew, Ba'asher Hashem itoy, because God was with him, because of God was with him, because of the fact that God was with him, So that's why the chief of jail left everything in the hands of Yosef. Also, we can ask, how did he know? Where did he got it from, this chief of jail, that God was with Yosef? Where did he got it from? So the Rebbe explains like this. The verse, our verse, says that his master saw that Hashem was with him. He saw it. Actually, this is what it means. He saw. Like, open your eyes and you will see. And Potiphar, he was his master, again, an Egyptian, an idolater, etc., etc., saw that Hashem was with him. The obvious question is, okay, let's suppose that Potiphar saw supernatural success in Yosef. Okay, I can understand this. And again, in quantity, everything he did was successful. This is something strange. Let's accept that. However, how did he know that this was related to God? I mean, to the only God and the creator of the world, etc. How did he know that? Maybe Yosef was some kind of witch or something like that, some kind of a magician, whatever. In Egypt was full of these things. How did Potiphar know this is related to God? That's why Rashi comes in and says, you know what? Because Yosef was talking all the time about God. Everything he did, God. Everything he spoke, God. Yosef had constantly, in every single situation, mentioned, said the Rebbe, the name of God as the ruler of the world. This is what Yosef did all the time. Therefore, Potiphar knew that whatever happened with Yosef was due to his God. Of course. This is our verse. That's how the master actually saw. Because whatever Yosef did, God in the middle, etc. Which is not the case with the previous verse. I didn't copy it, but the previous verse, again, that says that God was with Yosef and he was a successful man, and Rashi didn't comment anything. And in a later verse where the chief of jail saw that God was with Yosef, etc., etc., over there, the Torah is not talking about what other people actually understood about Yosef. The Torah is telling us the fact itself that Yosef was successful, and the fact of the success of Yosef, that Hashem was with him, is not a reason why we should actually explain and comment. I'll explain this in a minute. Explain and comment why that Yosef constantly mentioned God's name. What am I saying? What's the Rebbe saying? This is the way I understand. You have two perspectives over here, two ways of looking at things. You have one way of looking at things from Potiphar's perspective. The Torah says that Potiphar saw that Yosef was successful. As soon as you say something like that, you need to understand, you need to comment and explain, why was this? How did Potiphar know? So Rashi, his job is to understand, to explain, I'm sorry. His job is to explain the simple meaning of things. Therefore, he explains, look, Yosef was constantly talking about God. God, God, God. That's how his master saw that Yosef was successful and that success belongs to God. Good. That's point number one. However, in the previous verse where Rashi does not comment anything, and in the next verse, where again, Rashi basically doesn't say why the chief of jail or how did the chief of jail know that Yosef was successful. It doesn't say anything. Rashi doesn't explain. Why not? Because the Torah is not talking about what Potiphar saw or what the chief of jail saw. Rather, the Torah is saying a fact. The fact is, Hashem was with Yosef. And we cannot explain that. Why? I don't know why. Because Hashem decided to be with Yosef. Okay, we, so to speak, cheated. And we know, yeah, he was a prisoner, and he was beaten, and nullification. Okay, we know that. Fine. But the pshat, the simple meaning of Torah, it doesn't explain why. And there's no reason to explain why. But as soon as the Torah itself says, look, somebody else is realizing this. Like, suppose the Torah is talking. Torah knows, because it's the wisdom of God, I know that God is with Yosef. Okay, I don't have to explain why. I'm Torah. This is the fact. But as soon as the Torah says, look, there's another person realizing this, you have to explain how did he realize? So Rashi comes in and explains. What's going on is that since Yosef was constantly mentioned in the name of God, etc., etc., so everybody around him realized that he was a successful person. That's fine. However, we still have a question, says the Rebbe. There's another, let's go one step deeper. The Rebbe says like this, there's still a question. Since even being in jail, Yosef was certainly mentioned in the name of God all the time. If before, when he was a slave in the house of Potiphar, he mentioned the name of God all the time, suddenly when he was in jail, he didn't. No, of course, continued mentioning the same thing. His life was like just the same, basically. He continued mentioning, if God wants me to be here, so I'm here. Thank God. Or Hashem. And automatically, over there, the chief of jail also could realize and see that Hashem was with Yosef. God was with Yosef. Why? Because he constantly mentioned the name of God. Why doesn't the verse actually mention this? What's going on over here? There's something strange. When Yosef was a slave, the Torah says, oh, he was mentioning the name of God all the time, you know what? And everybody realized. Okay. But suddenly when he was in jail, Torah doesn't say anything about this. It just says the fact, relates the fact that Hashem was with Yosef. Somehow everybody understood he's a strange guy, a very special guy, a very godly, so to speak, guy. But the Torah doesn't say anything about mentioning the name of God. Doesn't say anything. To the point that Rashi doesn't explain anything. But certainly he continued mentioning the name of God. So what's going on? The Rebbe explains like this. This is a deep explanation. It's not so easy to chew, so to speak. So let's go. According to what we explained, we can, of course, say that since the idea of the name of God was common in the word, in the mouth of Yosef, that's the reason why Potiphar actually realized, this is the verse we have over here right now, his master saw that Hashem was with him. Again, why? How did he know? Because he mentioned, Yosef mentioned constantly the name of God. However, since Yosef was so imbued so much into Getlechkeit, as it says over here, being with God, mentioning the name of God constantly, etc., etc., because his custom was that the name of God was customary in his mouth, constantly in his mouth, etc., etc. Every single thing he did and every single thing happened to him, etc., he mentioned the name of God. That was the tool, so to speak, to have a success beyond nature. So to the point that Yosef did something, actually. What did he do? He mentioned the name of God while being a slave. And the Torah relates that and says, while Yosef was in Potiphar's house, he was a slave. He had some level of nullification to God. And he mentioned the name of God all the time. However, let's go one step deeper. When he was in jail, not in the house of Potiphar, when he was in jail, a much deeper level of giving yourself to God, of nullification, like a prisoner that is not able to do anything. Here, it doesn't really matter to stress that Yosef mentioned in his mouth the name of God. Just the fact of mentioning the name of God means you're doing actually something. You are something, somebody doing something. You are Yosef, mentioning the name of God. But in jail, he was so given to God, so nothing, he felt such a nothingness that he didn't even feel himself pronouncing the name of God. His mouth wasn't really important. It was really completely, absolutely given to God. In the words of the Rebbe, the nullification that symbolizes, so to speak, that the word, the name of God was in his mouth all the time, this is like the nullification of a slave. That his hand is mentioned, remember the Hebrew word, his hand is mentioned over there. In our verse, in our translation, he undertook, that's his hand, everything he undertook, etc. That's one level of nullification. However, this is not a level that includes that Hashem made him successful. No. In the second level, which would be this verse, Hashem, God made him successful. That only happened when he was a prisoner, when he was in a very, very deep level of complete unification with God. And therefore, not even his mouth is mentioned over here. Even though he continued, of course, talking about God all the time. But his mouth is not mentioned in this verse. Okay. This is basically the idea. Let's go some kind of a summary of what we saw. First of all, we had two stories about Yosef. Story number one, Yosef was successful because he was a very, very successful slave in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar knew this. His master saw this. Hashem is with him. And we know already why, because he constantly mentioned the name of God. Okay. And everything he did, everything in quantity, he undertook with his hand, he actually did something, he was successful. Very strange thing. Everything he does, successful. Then we have story number two of Yosef, when he was in prison. And when he was in prison, whatever he did, etc., Hashem made him successful. It's a different kind of thing. His hand is not mentioned. In the Hebrew, Hashem Matzliach. The hand of Yosef is not mentioned. Why is that? Because in one case he was a slave, and the second case was a prison. A slave, even though he is a slave, and he's some kind of nothing, he feels some kind of nothing. However, he has to do whatever the master says. And whatever he does belongs to the master, that's fine. But he has to do something. So in this case, this is one level of pitul, nullification, giving yourself to God, to God, whatever, to his will. And this generates atzlacha, success. What was the, in Hebrew, it's the kli. What was the tool for this success? He mentioned the name of God. And this is stressed, as we saw in Rashi, this is stressed in this part of his story, the first part, when he was a slave. In the second part, of course, he continued just mentioning the name of God every time in everything he did, etc., etc. But the Torah does not stress it. The Torah looks at it from a different perspective, not from the perspective of Potiphar or the chief of jail looking at Yosef, rather from the Torah itself telling you, so to speak, a truth. Look, the truth is, Hashem was with Yosef. The reason why? Because he was a prisoner, he was so battled, so nullified and given over to God, to the point that we don't even stress his mouth mentioning the name of God. It's part of his life. That's what he does. It's not that he has to do the work, like think, oh, this happened to me. What should I say? Oh, I should say, thank God. Yeah, thank God. And so you say it. There was a whole like thought chain in your mouth, in your head. What should I say? Should I say, curse God? Thank God. No, no, no. Thank God. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank God. No. It was like automatically. His life was into that. What's left for us? The Rebbe continues with all other things about the liberation of the Alter Rebbe. I'm not going to go into that because it doesn't have to do anything for us today. It's not the subject. But what's left for us? What can you do to be successful? And this the Rebbe writes in so many letters to all kinds of people, asking for success, in economic success or whatever. So the Rebbe always says, make God your partner. You have to make God your partner. So how do you do a partnership with God? Sounds kind of weird. The reason, the way of doing it is very easy. When you actually, from the work of your hands, from your toil, your efforts, et cetera, you give tzedakah, you help somebody else, that's being a partner with God. Because you can tell God, look, if you make me successful, I'll make your creatures successful. To any person you desire, whatever. It doesn't have to be this guy or that guy. Or, no. This institution or that is, give it whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. Give it whatever you want. But the point is that you actually make a partnership with God. And you say, I'm going to give such and such tzedakah, help for your creatures. If you help me, be my partner. Be my partner. Be with me. And together with this, of course, we learned this in Yosef's life, so to speak, mention the name of God. At the beginning, it's going to be weird. It's going to sound weird. And you probably feel weird. Okay, don't worry. It's a work. It's a work in progress, so to speak, that you have to do with yourself. Accustom yourself to think about God and to, in every single situation in your life, to ask yourself, what does God want from me right now? In every step of your life, what would God do in my place right now? What's the next step? And when you think about this one time and a second time, and it could be, take your whole life. I don't know. Each person has different feelings and ways of thinking, et cetera, et cetera. When you are accustomed to do this, it's going to become automatic in your life. And that's where you go to the second level of the story, so to speak, the second part of the story of Yosef, where it was so such an automatic thing that everybody around him realized, wow, this is not only in quantity, everything he does, he's successful, rather even in quality. Like in every single situation, he's always happy. And that's, the Rebbe doesn't talk about it, but I think it's a very interesting thing to mention. That's why we find when the Torah relates in Parshas Miketz, when Yosef found the two servants of Paroi, the one that made the bread, the bakery minister, whatever, and the wine minister, when he actually saw them in jail and they were sad, because they had a strange dream. You can read the story in the scriptures, a very easy story, very famous story. They were sad, etc. And Yosef wasn't sad. Yosef just walked up and said, woke up, and went to them and said, hey, why are you sad? What's going on over here? Let's party. What do you mean, let's party? We're in jail and we're waiting for death row. And you know what? You also, you've been in jail for so many years. So, what's going on with you? Are you crazy? No, he was happy. If God put me into this situation, it's because this is the place where I have to be. This is the place where I have to change the world, so to speak. Again, in prison, we spoke about this. It's not so easy to think about changing the world. It's true. But in the case of Yosef, that's where he had to be in order to become the viceroy of Egypt. So there is a continuation, so to speak, to the story. And the point that I want to convey is when you get used to mentioning the name of God all the time, with time it's going to become part of your life. In Hebrew, there's an expression, regilus, the accustoming yourself to something becomes like a second nature in your life. When you're accustomed, it's going to become your life. And of course, just as you had success when you mentioned the name of God all the time, you're going to have success also in the second story of Yosef, both in quantity and in quality. I don't know if people have questions or commentaries. This is basically what hatzlacha, success, means in the Torah way, so to speak.